see all of you here. I hope that you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. I have enjoyed myself today serving God. We had a great time over at the nursing home. Sister Dorothy went home to be with the Lord on Friday. So that makes three this year. I think Miss Dorothy, Miss Virginia, and Miss Lena. Is that correct? Miss Lena was a little bit last year. She was 102, Miss Lena, wasn't she? And she went home to be with the Lord. And so there had been friends at the nursing home all this time, and because they knew the Lord as Savior, now they are in heaven, strolling around in heaven without their wheelchair. James probably talked to your mom and dad. How about that? God's good, isn't he, to give us that comfort. But pray for us, because it is sad when we go, and one that we've known for such a long time, and then the Lord decides it's time for them to go. It was a good day, though. I tell you, when the number one requested song of the seniors is the national anthem. Sure is. They can't stand, but they sure do try to get up there. They're from Puerto Rico, from America, from all over. The one lady was from Jamaica. She's a U.S. citizen now. She had no legs, Brother Jim, on it, if you noticed her over there. She put her hand up on her heart. Began to sing with us. That's amazing, isn't it? Little Miss Teresa, every prayer request she has, the only prayer request, Brother Victor, is pray for our nation. Amen. How old is Miss Teresa? What y'all think? She may be 90? Is it 88, 90? Pray for our nation. That's her prayer request every time. She's in the nursing home. Can't get out. Health is declining. And her concern is our nation. That's amazing. That is amazing. And it just brings joy to my heart. I'm glad these young kids get to go with us and they can see some of that. It really does. It's not where you're from, but what you become when you get here and become a part of what God has done in our nation. It's good to see Americans from all over the world that honor our flag and our country and our nation. Hey, Sop, good to see your friends here with us tonight. Hey, Sop invited friends and they came. Busy.
Amen.
Bus rider. Reaching out. Getting people to come. Good to have y'all here tonight. Good to see y'all. We got a good crowd back tonight. You can't use the gym. I know you're disappointed in that after church, but they'll be hanging lights. I believe if you want, it's up clear up to y'all. There is lights behind the building. Y'all can play volleyball outdoors. So if you still want to hang around and do that, that'll be available outside. You can do that. Let's go to Job, if you would. Job chapter 31. Don't forget to get your papers turned in for camp. I believe there's 15 or 16 ladies signed up and registered to go down to West Palm Beach next month. The men will be going to Tampa in April, so don't forget to sign up over there. I got to turn in the number real quick, so if you want to go down to Tampa with us, get your name on there so I can at least let them know how many's coming. Tonight, just for a little bit, I thought we'd just do a little word study. Just a tad bit of word study. It won't be a normal Sunday evening message. I think it's needful. The word tonight is contempt. Contempt. That's an act of despising. An act of despising. In law, you know, if you was in court, I was watching the news about 3 weeks ago, and there was a sentencing that was taking place. There was a drunk driver who killed somebody, and they had trial, and now it was sentencing time. And of course, at that time, they let the families come in and they say a little thing here and there and try to, you know, have their last word. And the one that was in jail, his sister sat behind, and as the sister of the one who died was telling the court, we can't never have him back. He's dead. It was done by choice. When the person chose to go to the bar and stay at the bar and they get behind the car and drive, it was an act of choice. And by that choice, he took my brother's life. And the whole time she sat behind giggling, snickering. And the judge slammed that gavel down. It was a lady judge, and she gave her the max, I believe 74 days in jail for contempt of court. Now, I don't know if she served it all, but Bailiff come and got her and said, any one of y'all want to go with her? There's plenty of room back there. She was not having none of it. So in contempt of court, in law, you can have contempt. What that means is you're disobedient to the rules and orders of the court. Brother Bill, I believe you had a federal jury duty not too long ago, and they sent you a notice. You had to come in a suit and tie, didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Didn't come in a suit and tie, you could be held in contempt of court. So it's disobedient to the rule of the court, and it is a punishable offense. Now, sometimes, depending what happens, they do not, maybe $25, $30 fine. I don't know. I've never been held in contempt of court. I figure if you go in there, do what the judge says, and you'll get out there soon. Or you can go like that one person. 74 days, the max on contempt of court. It was pretty rough. It was. But that was a shame that took place. It wasn't a funny laughing matter. It's not. So tonight, the thought is contempt. Job 31, verse number 13. I know what the kid's thinking. A word study. Pastor, we're going to school tomorrow. Yeah, but this might help you. Might help you at school, keep you out of trouble. A lot of kids are contemptuous towards their teachers. Contemptuous toward their parents. Toward authority altogether. Job 31:13. Listen to what it says here. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contend with me. Does Job, he's saying this. If I despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contend with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up and when he visiteth? What shall I answer him? And the thought is contempt. So if I interact with you or individuals or those in authority, here are people we can see. If I interact with you in a contemptuous way or a way where I'm acting a state of despisement or toward you, looking down, or my words are looking down for you. What makes me think when I create that atmosphere with people I can see, when God visits, how am I going to answer Him? Over in the Proverbs, this is a whole other story, but Proverbs teaches us that we should learn to be under authority. As we learn that, and for this reason, is when we are subject to God's authority, we act accordingly. So if I am acting in contemptuous ways towards Brother Don, how am I going to act with God? And so Job's saying, if I acted this way with my manservant, my maidservant, how am I going to act with God? Now, look over in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 21. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 21. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth. Ooh. And he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. So to be contemptuous or despising towards someone or have an attitude of despisement towards them, the Bible says here that you're sinning. That's what God says. This is God's attitude toward it. And I'll tell you, we have a serious problem with this. You remember the story over in Genesis 16 and around the early parts of 16, Abram and Sarai came up with this great plan because Sarai couldn't have children as of yet, but yet God had told them it's going to happen. Just wait a little bit. Be okay. But they come up with this here idea. I got this maidservant. Her name is Hagar. Why don't you go in unto her? Because there's this little agreement that we've come up in our society, in our covenant between each other. Whoever's born upon sitting upon my knee that gives birth, that would actually be my child. Pretty good plan, I guess. I guess it'd be a way of having what we call today surrogate parenting, I suppose. Well, we know the story. As soon as Hagar was with child, the maidservant, as soon as she was with child, she began to look at Sarai in despisement, in contempt. So the little covenant that they had worked out together didn't go so well. So when you got a problem with your neighbor, I mean, God says here, if you got a problem, he that despiseth his neighbor, sinneth. That's great folly in despising and contempt, standing in contempt. Look over at Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse 12. Proverbs 11, verse 12. The Bible says there, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He that despises neighbor sinneth. Here, he that is without wisdom sinneth. Now listen, you and I as God's children, we have no excuse to be without wisdom. First, we have the Word of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And the Bible says, he that lacketh wisdom. So you find yourself in a position where you lack wisdom on how to handle a situation, the best thing is not to run headlong with it and put your head down like a bull and bust through it. The best thing to do is do what the Bible says. He that lacks wisdom, ask God. It's over in James. But we rarely stop long enough to do that, do we? As soon as we have problems, as soon as there's difficulty, as soon as there's something that we cannot handle. I'm telling you, men, and I'm a deep fault at this. It seems though as sometimes when I can't grasp or handle the situation logically, I feel backed into a corner and my nature's wanting to fix it, to make it correct, to get it right. And before long, if I'm not careful, things are all out of whack. When I should pause and say, "Hun, I don't know. Let me ask God. I don't know what it is. It's the human nature. It's the man nature. I don't know. Maybe ladies, some ladies that way. But the proper thing to do is to stop, hold back, and say, look, I know, I think I know everything, but I don't got this right here, so I'm going to pause a little bit and let me go ask God. Now, we can't use that as a crutch to get out of every conversation. Some of us do that. Hold up, honey, I'm watching the game. I'm going to ask God about that tomorrow. Keep it in perspective, okay? All right? Nabal. You remember Nabal over in 1 Samuel? He was despised. And look, let's actually look over there. Look over at 1 Samuel 25. First Samuel 25, verse 10 and 11. Nabal answered David's servant, said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse?" There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. "Shall I then make my bread and my water and my flesh, and I have killed for my shears and give it to men whom I know not whence they be. And Nabal was contemptuous towards the king, towards David. Who is this? Who is this? And of course, later on down the way, Abigail, his wife, come and rescued the whole situation, because they was about to kill everybody up in the whole circle of friends there and the family, you know, because of this here attitude. So these are some examples. Sanballat over Nehemiah. When Nehemiah showed back up in Jerusalem, was going to build the wall again in Jerusalem because the city had been laid in rubble and was in shambles. So as they began to build and began to move along with the work and the progress, Sanballat showed up and he began to be contemptuous toward the nation of Israel, the men working there. And Sanballat began to call out and began to harass and make problems for them. So it's all through the Bible. And you've probably recognized it some yourself, you know, in everyday life now. For you folks that are dealing with our youth today, our youth can be very contentious. I mean, it's very difficult anymore to handle situations in school. I mean, you almost have to throw your hands up, put a white flag up, and say, do what you want. It just seems that way. I'm hoping that we'll get a grasp on this and we'll understand that, you know, free ranging in the schools isn't working. There has to be authority. They're not going to always be in high school. They're not going to always be in college. And I'm going to tell you, this is how the employers deal with it. What'd you just say? You're not coming off the clock. You're not coming back on the clock. You're going to sit down and eat that sandwich right there? But you already been on break for 40 minutes? Oh, okay. You can get your bag and go. They don't send you to detention. No, right. They don't give you no end work suspension. They don't expel you for 3 or 4 days and say, well, go on home and play your PlayStation and cause trouble for your mom and your dad. They have to miss work to handle you. It don't work like that. Real life don't work like that, dear friend. They just say, go. There's too many other people wanting to work. And then, see, by then you done got your cell phone bill, if you have your mama's baby. If not, she still got your cell phone bill. You done got a car bill, insurance, and you done got your, you know, went down to Aaron's. Isn't it Aaron's down there? You got your week-to-week payment on your 52-inch TV so you can play your game station. Now, all of a sudden, you don't have no job. Because if the bosses don't play games, you're just going to be gone. And then before long, if you're gone and you're gone and you're gone from 3 or 4 jobs, you know what they say? Nobody wants you. That's real life. We've got to get a hold of this, guys. Listen, teenagers, we got to understand that all of us are under authority. Every last one of us, everybody. I am under authority. Yes, I'm the pastor of Lock Haven Baptist Church, but I work as the underneath the authority of Lock Haven Baptist Church. I am at the pleasure of the church. Yes, Christ the head of the church. I understand. We got all that. But all it would take is for the church to say, we need a business meeting, pastor, and we're going to just figure something out here. We think it's time for you to go. And what am I going to do? Get me a pair of handcuffs and lock myself up here to this here microphone so that I ain't going. I work at the pleasure of the church. Our deacons were ordained by the authority of our church. And we're all under authority. Every one of us under authority. We got to understand that we have to deal with situations. You know, there's sometimes that our authority comes to a limit and we can't do something about some things. This morning, our Sunday school class, in the young couples and singers class, as I was talking with them, the Sunday school lesson was about the centurion who showed up there to Jesus and said, Jesus, my servant This is a centurion, a Roman centurion, who normally speaking were very rough men and rugged warriors and had worked their way up through the ranks. And he said, my servant is sick with palsy. I mean, he's tormented, the word says, and he's grievous. And here's the Roman centurion coming to the Lord Jesus. And as he came to the Lord Jesus, he said, listen, I am a man under authority. I understand you have authority. I say that this one go, and that one go, and this one come, and that one comes. This is what the centurion said. He said, I know that you're a man of authority. Lord, I am not worthy that you should come to my house. Wait a minute, Rome ruled that area. If he wanted to, the Roman centurion, whether they liked it or not, he could have told the whole four or five of them, get in line over there behind that 100 Roman soldiers, you're coming to my house. Now we understand Jesus had power. Jesus didn't have to go. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross, because when they showed up that night at the garden, they said they're there to get Jesus. Jesus said, I am. Here I am. They fell backwards. They didn't have the authority, but here Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Even the centurion came to a point who was a man under authority that he needed help from somebody else with greater authority. So we're all under authority. We don't need to be contentious. Look over in Proverbs 23. We don't need to be despising toward that authority. The Bible is very plain, clear about this. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to what the Bible says. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. The Bible forbids it towards parents. The Bible teaches us as children that we're to honor our mother and father. And it says that this is the first commandment with promise, doesn't it? So the Bible forbids, it says here, in this verse, that we're to hearken unto thy father that begot thee. So, and despise not thy mother. Look in, if you would, in Matthew 18, Matthew chapter 18. Verse number 10. Matthew 18:10. So God forbids it towards parents. He forbids being contentious toward the little ones. Look here in Matthew 18:10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. You've got to be careful about being mean and hateful towards these little kids running around here in this world, not just here. For what I've seen, church, you do very good about handling the kids here in a godly, loving, and tender way. I mean, every now and then you have to get on to one, but you realize that this, if you didn't, maybe it's just doing it because you're a good person, but now you know God says, not to despise them. Not despising the little ones. That verse is kind of strong there. He says, their angels always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. You're talking about a tattletale. Lord, that person has been real mean to that little child. But be careful. God forbids that. Look at Romans 14. Romans 14. Verse 3. God forbids that we should be contemptuous towards our parents. It forbids that we should be contemptuous and despising towards the little ones. Look what it says here in Romans 14:3. Let not him that eateth despiseth him. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him that which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. And as you read this chapter and you look at it, this is talking about the weaker brother or sister in Christ. And so often, if we're not careful, we that walk with the Lord a little bit, we've grown a little bit in the Lord, if we're not careful, we look down upon those that are still doing some things that we have let go a long time ago. Now listen, God desires and demands growth from His children. You should not be acting the same way you were 2 weeks after you got saved if you've been saved 4 years. There should be some difference about you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things pass away. All things become new. They become new. So God begins to work on you and work those out. But we need to be careful that we don't despise the weaker brother. We need to be careful, very careful, that we don't despise those young men that have been called into the ministry. Look with me over in 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 16, 11. Actually, start in verse 10. Now, if Timotheus comes, little Timothy there, if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him from forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. Could it not be that there'd be some younger men that would surrender themselves in the ministry if they didn't feel put down? We've got to be careful. Listen, when a young man gets called into the ministry, God lays his hand on him and says, listen, I want to set you apart for the work of the ministry. Many times, those that are in his church have been saved much more, much longer, and know far more than he had ever known at that point. And the very first time he gets up there and speaks, I'm to be honest with you, first time I got up there, my pastor told me, he said, okay, you feel like you've called to preach, the Lord's moved you that direction. This coming Sunday, you're going to do it. What? This Sunday? Brother Jim, Lord, have mercy. I was like all over the place, Brother Dwayne. I had a whole sermon that lasted a minute and 42 seconds. And there wasn't not a point that went with nothing. But my church was gentle with me. And they loved on me. And they realized I was a young man that had just surrendered. We need to be careful when we have these young creatures come in. Pay attention to them. Look at them. Look in their face when they're up here preaching. Even if it is a minute and 47 seconds. If it's from the Word of God, if they read 14 verses. Maybe they come back down the road and say, look, I was about to get out of this thing, but that church, they acted like they were listening to me. They heeded. They were looking at this. Follow along. They was, even if you don't go to where he's going, just fan a few pages. Make him think you're going. Hold your Bible up every now and then. Oh, yeah. Will he say things that are wrong? I'm sure. So did Apollos. But when it got done, whenever that couple took him aside and spent time with him and allowed him to grow and allowed him to be cultivated in the house of God, it came to a point where they were saying, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Apollos. Let me tell you something different. We need to be careful about despising the poor. The Bible talks about that in James chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. You understand, dear friend? Listen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, the Bible teaches that if you're not going to work, you should not eat and all that. But there's some real poor folks here. There's some poor folks. There's some folks that's made, listen, they've made some bad, bad, bad choices. You remember kind of like what I talked about a while ago with a young man? Gets him a job. As soon as you get a job, I tell you, these guys are quick. They're slick. Oh, just bring me five pay stubs, and we'll get you in here. We'll get you a 57-inch TV, 4K 2000, and man, you'll be like you're in real life. And it's only $42 a week. And man, they're excited. I mean, they are. They get in there, and then before long, they lose the job. It can happen. For various reasons. Sometimes it's not even because they were, being bad workers. It's just work drive-up. And they end up on the short end of things. You've got to be careful about despising the poor. We should not do it. In the Word of God, it teaches us we should not do it. Look over with me in the class, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. I can't listen to that fellow. He don't know much. He ain't got much. Be careful. Be very careful. Maybe he ain't got much. Maybe he had somebody to come alongside him and teach him much. Don't despise him. Look over James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It'd be a pretty boring world if every one of us was rich as Bill Gates, wouldn't it? You curse me with it, Pastor. I'll try it for a week or two. If I don't like it, I'll keep it. I won't give it back. I heard your clock. I don't think it'd be pretty bad for you. I think it'd be pretty good. All right. Imagine all of us sitting over at the same restaurant. Eating. Who would cook for you? I'm sure you'd get Warren Buffett to go in there and he'd cook a meal for you, right? No. I'm sure when President Trump's done in 6 years, he'd come cook a meal for you, right? No. It'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it? We'd be all skinny folks, wouldn't we? We'd have nothing but CDs, stocks and bonds, starving to death. Why? Because it takes those workers. James chapter 2, verse number 6. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? But ye have despised the poor. Now be careful with that. Listen, the poor we're going to have with us always. It is what it is. For the very reason I just said, if everybody in this whole world, all 7 billion of us, was all rich as get out, and we had all the money we wanted, who would be the teller to take our money? Who would be the construction worker to build our condos? It takes all time. We need to be very careful about despising the poor. We are not better than anyone. Not at all. So listen, there's different ones that get involved in this sin of contempt. Different ones. I tell you, first thing that prompts us to do it when we begin to look at our own righteousness, that self-righteousness, we forget only by the grace of God we are where we're at. And then we begin to show that contemptuous attitude toward others. Those that linger in their pride and their prosperity, they're prompted to it because it becomes all about them. You remember the guy who had some barns and silos, and all of a sudden he said, I got some, let me build, break these down, build some more. Let me build me some more of these grain barns. And thou fool. Not notes. Be careful. Be careful. I can honestly tell you that there's been ministers and men of God that have been contentious. And God has warned us about that. Well, how did he do that? He said, don't be a respecter of persons. If somebody wealthy comes in here, I, as the pastor of this church, and you, as the congregation of this church, the flock of this church, we should not treat them anymore. Listen, if Morgan walked in to sit himself right there, and the homeless man sit himself right there, I should treat neither one any different. We shouldn't be respecters of persons. Because God surely hasn't been. For whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Shall be saved. And there's been preachers to their shame. I pray God will rebuke me strongly in my heart if at any moment the thought of treating anybody different than somebody else. White, black, Hispanic, Chinese, Korean, African. They're all humans and they've got a soul. Not only are they all humans, they've got a soul. They are created in the image of God. God forbid. I pray God strikes me down in my heart and just humbles me real quick like if the thought comes into my heart that I would give more attention to Brother Ethan than I would to little Victor Esper. God, strike my heart strongly. It's my prayer. I hope it's yours. I do hope it's yours. It's mine. Because it's a wicked thing, dear friend. Because if I show contempt towards one of these brethren, I'm telling you there's going to come a time in my life that I show contempt to God. It's going to be. Why? Because the greatest commandment is love God. Second is to love man. If I'm breaking the second one, I'm climbing near and dear, holding on to tearing the first one up. And to be honest with you, dear friend, I don't believe personally, maybe I'll be wrong, maybe when I get to heaven, God will say, son, if I had a 2x4, I'd drop it on your head right there when you said that. But I don't believe personally, dear friend, you can keep one without keeping two. One. I don't believe personally you can keep the great commandment number one if you're not keeping great commandment number two. I don't believe personally you can keep great commandment number two if you're not and keep great commandment number one. I don't believe that. I don't think there's a separation. Because he said on these two. On these two. He didn't say, well, you know, you've got to work really hard at this, but on these two. Now, if I'm wrong with that, I'm willing for God to correct me. But I don't believe that it's possible. I don't believe we'll always do it 100% because we're just sinful men and women. I don't believe we'll all do it 100%. There's days in our life, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, that it's hard to love people. And there's days in our lives when we get hung up in sin that makes it difficult to show God the love that we should toward Him. We know that's true because we chose to sin over God. And the love of Christ constrains us. So that's my opinion on that matter there. And if I'm wrong with that, may God correct me here on this earth without a 2x4. But I just believe personally those are very strong commandments that we should keep. And so in finishing, don't despise people. You know, well as I'm standing here, that you wouldn't walk up in an old courtroom and show contempt of a court. No, I don't believe none of y'all sitting here. They've got a few visitors, but they're looking pretty civil. They don't look like they're going to go up in no courtroom and show themselves. I don't believe none of y'all would. So if you wouldn't do that in front of a judge, be careful. At work, your boss, and your spouses, and your children, and your teachers, and administrators, be careful. This is a sin. Listen, just as much sin as lying, so is this a sin. God said it. You despise your neighbor, you're sinning. It's there. Father, we do love you. We thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word. Word study through the Bible. And looking at verses and scriptures. To help us, Lord, not to be a contemptuous, despising people. God, help us to provoke one another to love. And I'm thankful for all of the words that are in the Bible. Every last one of them you have given us. And God, they are helpful. We need all of them. Not just portions and parts. But Lord, this thought tonight on being contemptuous is just as important as any other part. So I pray, God, we take it to heart and be doers of thy word, not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen.